Hello, humans. Welcome to the Chill the Fuck Out podcast. I'm your host, Ashley O'Brien. Welcome to a space meant to be for you to pause your day, week, month, or even year, to take a breath and a moment for yourself with yourself. A place to discuss, learn, grow through, and maybe even laugh about mental illness, trauma, abuse, mental health, emotional difficulties, healing, and what we can do to overcome it all, to live and be present in lives we love. Childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse. I think starting with this topic makes sense. It's the point. It's the beginning. Childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse is a direct and indirect cause of mental, emotional, and physical illness. If we don't process it and heal, it follows us and drives us wherever we go, whatever we do. It's somehow become cliche or taboo to acknowledge the fact that most of how we experience life is somehow connected to or colored by childhood. Well, I don't care if it is. We have to talk about it. I have to talk about it. I do want to give you a trigger warning for this episode. In this episode, I try to at least touch on all manner of traumatizing experiences, and I also give an example of sexual trauma. Please take care of yourself however you need to, and if that means you can't listen or you need to skip ahead, that is okay. So what is childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse? Obviously, it's a terrible experience during childhood, but what is trauma? First, I want to remind us all of the fact that children are innocent. Children's brains aren't fully developed. Children don't have a great intellect or understanding of complex emotions and experiences. So things that adults don't see as being traumatizing may actually traumatize a child, simply because there's no way for them to understand or process it in a healthy way. A five-year-old doesn't understand that mom and dad are screaming cuss words at each other because neither of them ever learned how to communicate their fears and doubts or problem solve together in a healthy, constructive way. The five-year-old hears them and instantly internalizes the experience as dangerous. They react to it from survival mode, and that reaction is imprinted on their psyche, and it forever colors how they perceive and react to confrontation, unless they have the opportunity to process it in a healthy way. So before I go through the list of things that have been categorized as traumatizing or potentially traumatizing, I want to address this. Just because it's on the list doesn't mean it is traumatizing, but depending on the child, their nature, how they've been nurtured, etc., they may perceive it as dangerous and be traumatized by it. So I don't want to hear a damn word about how some people are too sensitive or soft. I am talking about children. I am talking about me as a child and you as a child and all children. Second, the point I want to make by going through this is that your experience is your own. The things that have hurt you are real, and the hurt you feel is valid. Too many of us spend too much time trying to fit in or be normal while being told or expected to get over it, or we're told we shouldn't feel so bad because other people have it so much worse. I don't care what other people have gone through. If you are hurt by something, you have to be able to process it, which means you have to be allowed to feel it and experience it, grieve and fight for yourself and get the things that you need. If we don't process the things that hurt us, they get stuck in us. And even if, no, especially if, we're good at stuffing them away and living life, even a good life, without addressing those things, they will come out somehow as addiction, unhealthy vices, disease, directly or indirectly hurting other people, even people we love. We each have to take responsibility for ourselves as adults, and this includes taking our power back by addressing the things that hurt us. So the list of things that are considered potentially traumatizing in childhood that could create the effects of childhood trauma, I got from the National Child Traumatic Stress Network and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration and my own experiences. The first is physical, sexual, and psychological abuse, including witnessing domestic violence and abuse, being spoken to in a degrading, punitive, aggressive, bullying, or just fucking mean manner, being physically or sexually assaulted. Now, I want to talk about assault for a second. I am going to give an example of child sexual abuse. Assault can be nonviolent. And I want to make this distinction because I had an experience when I was a child of being violated. It was nonviolent, but it was still assault.
So this is where the trigger warning comes in. An example of that could be an adult fondling a child or forcing the child to fondle the adult.
It is not violent, but it is violating, and it is assault. The next on the list is physical and psychological neglect, including lack of physical affection, lack of personal care like being cleaned or fed, lack of attention, lack of presence, like with turnkey kids. That's a common term for kids who live in families where the parents leave them to their own devices a lot. Family, school, and community violence, like riots, shootings, and commonly occurring crime in your neighborhood. Terrorism, sudden or violent loss of someone, including being removed from your home or family, even if it's for your own safety. A parent being suddenly absent, like in military service or when parents separate. Substance abuse disorder by someone close to you, so witnessing that can be traumatizing. Refugee and war experiences, including displacement and even torture. Serious accidents or life-threatening illness of yourself or someone you're close to. And then exposure to excessive stressors over time. This can be exposure to news over time. This can be scary movies, TV shows, stories, music that has mature content in it that they can't understand and is scary. Someone who insists that the child is in danger constantly, like end of world talk. Constant instability like homelessness or financial troubles. I'll share all resource links in the show notes so you can look back at this if you feel like you need to. Now, I want to make a point here. Yes, there are parents who traumatize their children unintentionally. Some of the things on this list are difficult for us to talk about, and we want to brush under the rug or say toughen up because some things can't be helped. And some things are just difficult. Life is difficult. But we can't pretend that they don't affect children heavily. This podcast is absolutely aimed at helping open an approachable conversation so survivors of childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse might have an easier time understanding and accepting their experiences and the effects of those experiences, and then maybe asking for help in processing and healing. But I also intend it as a way to understand all sides of these experiences. In my healing journey so far, learning to understand and work on accepting why the people who hurt me did what they did helps me to be able to forgive a little easier. It helps me take it a little less personally, which helps the hurt. It helps me set appropriate boundaries when I see those characteristics in other people now. And it helps me see my abusers as humans who can be dealt with and avoided however I see fit, and not these unapproachable monsters who are still dangerous to me because they're not. It also helps me to see the very human side of being a parent or guardian. It seems inevitable that children are going to get hurt and be exposed to things that you wish they hadn't. So to parents who have regret or concern for things that you may have allowed or done to hurt your children, and you want some way to fix it or make it right, I want to address you also. More than likely, these discussions can speak to things you experienced in childhood that may have led to what happened to your children. I also want to address the fact that sometimes it's something that was unintentional and just needs more attention and room for processing afterward, like families who move around a lot, or moms with postpartum depression who struggle to meet their newborn baby's emotional needs. Part of the conversation I want to have is saying to parents, there is something you can do. If you research, learn for yourself, ask for help, you can help your children heal and learn and thrive just like you want them to. So why does it matter? It matters because I believe that mental illness is the root cause of all negative human experiences. The people who hurt other people are hurt people. The people who seem to suffer most in life are hurt people who never had the opportunity to process and heal. It matters because if we can all move in the direction of improving our mental health and the next generation grows up a little healthier and so on, we can have the opportunity to create a ripple effect through generations from living our lives as well as we can. Now, I want to make sure you understand that it is not your responsibility nor mine to save the world. A lot of people want to believe that an individual can save the world somehow, but if we try to take the responsibility on for the entire world, especially before we know how to handle our own shit, we're going to fail and cause ourselves more hurt. But if you take responsibility for your own healing and saving yourself, not waiting for someone else or putting it off because it seems selfish, you will be able to create whatever life you want. You can have absolute control and power over yourself. And in my opinion, the best any of us can do is live our lives as well as possible. Doing this means you are well taken care of, and your family is then well taken care of. Then you can affect the community directly around you, maybe by having greater confidence and self-worth, and that leads to you being a successful business owner that creates jobs. Or feeling capable of compassion again and wanting to use it to volunteer somewhere. Or simply by paying it forward, by creating and giving space to those that you love who need to heal themselves. Then, maybe, potentially, eventually, it has the possibility of rippling out from there. Addressing the trauma, neglect, and abuse from childhood is necessary for us to do and be everything we want with our whole heart. Now, what are you going to do about it? The first thing you have to do, in my opinion, before you can make progress, is ask for help and accept help. One of the hardest things for anyone who went through trauma and abuse as a child, but the most powerful first step. I do need to give a disclaimer here and in all episodes. I am not a therapist, a counselor, a life coach, or any other kind of life or mental health professional. I do not intend or expect the pause to be a substitute for any of those types of professional help. I am simply a survivor who wants to pay it forward within a community of people that I belong to. Asking for help can mean finding a therapist or counselor. If you go this route, I recommend finding someone who specializes in working with survivors of childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse. That's how I learned that phrase, because I saw one when I was in my early 20s, and she was immensely helpful in my healing process. If therapy or counseling is not something that you can afford, there are lots of options through government grant programs and nonprofits. I recommend you research therapy, nonprofits, and government programs in your area. If therapy and counseling aren't for you, there are a lot of other options. The basic components, the way I see it, of healing mental and emotional trauma is building awareness, easier said than done, and processing the trauma you went through. Again, a hell of a lot easier said than done. So things that I've tried and played with that have helped me are first, journaling. An underrated but extremely powerful way to get shit out of your head and into something tangible. Then you can ignore it, reread it, and analyze it, burn it, whatever feels the best to you. I love journaling. It's been a tool I've used since I was a teenager. It's far less vulnerable than involving someone else, but it's a place to be completely honest with yourself and to get to know yourself. You can say anything to a journal. And in this way, you're asking yourself for help. I highly recommend finding, creating, and surrounding yourself with a support system you can be honest with when you're ready. People who you can trust to love you no matter what. I know this is scary. It can be extremely difficult and can take a lot of time. But humans are storytellers. Humans thrive on telling and listening to stories, on connection. It's in our nature and always has been. We have an instinctual need to be able to tell someone what we've been through. The other side of that is love and acceptance from the person or those people. That's where the trust is built, but also where the risk lies. I understand if you're not ready for this. When someone's been taught not to trust others from childhood, this can be the greatest risk. It's okay if you're not ready for this, but if you are, if you need to, do what you can to be kind with yourself and love yourself through it, regardless of the outcome. You are worthy of releasing this and feeling whole again.
These first 8 episodes have been sponsored by Childress Accounting and Consulting. Childress Accounting and Consulting is a fully remote and full-service accounting firm in the U.S. who serve clients through business advising using custom interactive visual reporting and weekly or monthly advising sessions to assist you in making informed decisions that help you correct and overcome current difficulties and then grow your business into everything you need and want it to be, both personally and professionally. Childress Accounting and Consulting serves you and your business with all of this, plus full-service bookkeeping and quarterly and annual tax compliance assistance, all for a packaged set monthly price. If you're interested in discussing changing how you run your business through customized reporting and advising from a seasoned CPA and getting a full team of accountants handling your bookkeeping and compliance needs, all for one set monthly price, you can schedule a meeting with James Childress by going to their website, childresscpa.com, clicking on the Contact Us page, and then clicking on the link in the green box. Again, to schedule a time with James to discuss your business advising needs, you can go to childresscpa.com. Click on Contact Us and click the link in the green box.
The next thing on the list is having a creative outlet. Creating, regardless of whether it's beautiful, accepted or not, is a powerful tool for getting both sides of your brain turned on and processing information without having to interact with it directly. It's another way to tell your story. For me, this was singing and music, but you can create in any way. Paint, draw, sculpture, pottery, hot glue crafts, sewing, knitting, etc. A difficult part of this is that it's easy for our ego or our internal protectors to rear up and try to make it perfect or something other people would like. I've found creating works best as a processing tool when I do it with the intention of no one else ever seeing it or being involved at all. The next thing on the list is breathing. I use some simple breathing techniques on a daily basis. The first one is breathing in, counting to 5, holding, counting to 5, breathing out, counting to 5, and then doing the same thing for a count of 6 and then 7 and so on. At some point in this process, I go from triggered and panicked to calm enough to sometimes be able to look at what happened, what triggered me, where it came from, break it down, and work on processing it. And sometimes it helps me calm all the way down to where I can see that there's no danger and I can just simply move forward easily. Breathing techniques abound, but this one is my sort of go-to for day-to-day stuff. That brings us to the next one, which is mindfulness. This is a huge topic. It's a big buzzword right now, but it's in part because it can be profoundly helpful in mental health and healing. Mindfulness, as I understand it, is the process of bringing yourself to the present, out of the past, and out of worry for the future, what could happen. Mindfulness can help you feel grounded, safe, and present. And this can give you the space, time, and calm to do some processing or at least just live your life for today more peacefully. The next on the list is exercise. Exercise is something I've leaned on since I was a teenager. I didn't know why it helped so much back then, but I knew it did. I was happier, healthier, and seemed to have much less mental and emotional distress when I was exercising regularly. I became a personal trainer in my early 20s and then worked in the physical therapy field after that. Movement is powerful for mental health and healing. Now I know to some extent why that is. There's the hormonal aspect of having positive, happy chemicals being produced in our brains and our bodies during and after exercise. It assists in healthy sleeping patterns. It assists in having an outlet for stress. Using and developing your physical capabilities can build confidence and self-worth. But what I've learned more recently is that movement and exercise fires up both sides of your brain. It creates a situation in which it's easier for your brain to process information, especially information that seems to be sort of stuck somehow. It can be a great tool for when something feels stuck. Now, things I don't have as much experience with, but I'd love to learn about, are various types of therapy and counseling. I've mostly used talk therapy, learning communication skills, internal family systems, and EMDR. But there are a lot of different types of therapy and counseling I'd like to explore. Hypnosis, acupuncture, in-depth breathing techniques, support groups, somatic therapies, guided journals or processing workbooks, and EFT tapping. And I'm sure there are many more things that belong on this list that I'd love to learn about and cover. So if you have anything you'd like me to cover because you'd like to learn more about it or because you've had good success with it, please let me know. You can write into ctfolistener@gmail.com. So how is this supposed to help you chill the fuck out? By working toward healing in whatever manner works best for you, including gaining education and awareness, you are giving yourself the opportunity to move forward. This is a step toward living a life you love, not just one you're surviving. This can be a step toward living a life in which mental and emotional distress and illness doesn't rule over you. Chill the fuck out for me is not a suggestion or a command. Chill the fuck out is a lifelong goal, and I'm so excited to share it with you. Thanks for listening.
If you'd like to write in to ask questions, request topic coverage, share an experience, or let me know how I can improve your experience with the pause, you can email me at ctfolistener@gmail.com. If you want to see the pause in your feed, like and subscribe on Instagram and Facebook by searching at ctfopausecast. Disclaimer, I am not a mental health professional or even a life coach. This podcast is not a substitute for professional mental health help. I am simply a healing survivor working to support a community I am a part of. I always encourage you to reach out, do your research, and find the professional help you need to overcome your internal obstacles and move forward. To that end, I will always post in show notes any resources I find and use and any that listeners send in as a way to make it easier for you to find the help that you need. With so much love and support, I hope you're feeling awesome. But if you aren't, I hope you can find a way to chill the fuck out.